You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Audits, recounts were conducted in Arizona, Wisconsin. In Georgia, it was recounted three times. It's clear. For those who challenge the results and question the integrity of the election, no other election has ever been held under such scrutiny and such high standards. The big lie is just that, a big lie.
Yay, it's a big lie. It's a big lie. There might have been fraud. There might have been fraud in the 2020 election. That's Joe Biden, of course, with the party line, the party narrative, yesterday in Philly. This July 14, 2021. What Biden, of course, is saying is that no one has a right to question our election. No one has a right to question if there is fraud in the elections in the U.S., no one except Hillary. Hillary was allowed to question and still continues to say she didn't lose. The Russians won it for Trump. We spent 2.5 years, millions of dollars following that big lie. And then, of course, the New York City mayor's race, all the chaos they had around that. There are several Democrats inside New York City that say, this election was not fair. Well, that's got to be a big lie. Of course, Biden is talking about the presidential election in particular with all the various recounts and surveys. And yes, something came out of Arizona yesterday that raises some questions, saying the count vote in Maricopa County through this latest audit does not match what was reported. I want to drive something home and make sure you understand where I stand on this. Do I believe there was probably fraud in the election, absentee ballots, drop boxes, fraudulent ballots, folks who shouldn't even have been allowed to vote at all in the U.S., much less vote where they did or as often as they did? Yes, I think a lot of that happened. Do I think there was enough of it there that could swing the election? My overall principle operating, I should say my overall operating principle is no, but with a caveat, if you go into some of these counties, like Maricopa County in Arizona, and the difference is large enough in that one county that changes the vote total of that, and then there's beginning to escalate within others, that who knows? We don't know, do we? But I've also tried to say, let's use that as an example and a template for going back in and reforming existing voting laws, cleaning off those who have passed away so they are not voting. We don't need more dead people voting. Or those who have moved and they no longer live at that address and they're voting somewhere else already, but you send an application out. Or you've got ballot harvesting going on that is bringing in false signatures and false ballots. So, yeah, we need election reform. And that's where I say we go from here because of what we learned last time. And we need to do that going forward for 2022. But I wanted to point out something to you. Former Democrat Senator Claire McCaskill basically caught an MSNBC host off guard the other day because she admitted that the Texas Democrat lawmakers who fled that state to prevent Republicans from passing a voting bill they think is wrong. Remember, they jumped on the plane and led. She said they're doing just like the Republicans do. It's just another form of a filibuster. So she's saying, you know, what you guys are doing, you're not helping, and you're actually adding ammunition for those who say you really don't want free, fair elections, do you? And to that extent also, we've got a an analyst who appeared on MSNBC too and said, there's a red wave coming. There's a red wave coming in 2022. You better get ready for it. So Democrats have reason to be concerned. And James Carville is saying, yeah, because you're still acting woke. You're trying to be woke and you want everybody to be woke. It's not going to help. Like CRT. He's right. And yet we still hear many say, well, we're not doing CRT. 5,000 teachers I know say we'll teach it. At the military academy, they say they're teaching it. And we keep hearing it's being taught and how it's being taught. And we've got some examples out of one particular college. A lot to cover the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned. Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned.
Run, run, run with a railroad.
Get out of their sight.
When the engine turns, then you gotta move on, and
you gotta move on and back.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Coronavirus cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. Again, on the rise in Missouri. The state's health department estimates more than 70% of the virus circulating in the state is the more infectious, possibly more dangerous, Delta variant.
We are seeing more people 30 years and older getting sicker and requiring hospitalization. Also, we have seen that in this wave, people is getting sicker faster.
Springfield's Mercy Hospital has seen hospitalizations rise so quickly they've brought ventilators in from other hospitals. At Springfield's Cox Health, 90% of coronavirus patients tested have the Delta variant.
This is going to keep happening. It may peak here and then it's going to spread to other places. If we don't get enough vaccinated, there's going to be another variant that's probably worse. It's just that's the way viruses work.
In nearby Branson, a huge tourist draw, it is business as usual. Vaccinations here in Taney County, even lower than the state. Just 25% of all residents here vaccinated.
What is the biggest barrier you hear to people not getting vaccinated?
It runs kind of the gamut. Maybe they feel like they are, just want to wait and see. They're just not quite ready yet. Maybe they're just not someone that vaccinates. We've also heard a little bit of concern over how quickly the vaccine was developed.
That's a CNN report and focusing primarily on the state of Missouri and pointing out that the rate of this new COVID variant, the Delta variant, is accelerating, particularly in the Springfield area. And, of course, a lot of folks in that area, they go to the lake areas every weekend and then also on down to Branson, which is nearby. There's CNN, from what I could gather, from what I saw and watching the report, pulling up sections. That was not the complete report. I want you to know I did edit it for time purpose, but not to change the content or what their direction was. It seemed to be if the experts they have that are talking are honest, it seems to be a very solid report. The last person speaking about folks who had different reasons as to why they're not getting vaccinated, particularly around that area, Taney County, director of the Taney County Health Department, Lisa Marshall, was being interviewed. She's the one who made those remarks. She said some folks have still concerns about how fast the vaccine was developed. And, of course, right now, if you suggest that and you have a concern about it, you will be called names. You will be looked at. You're kind of a weirdo. I bet you also went up in a UFO last night because you're simply questioning, especially if it's going to be given to your children or your children might have to have it under a mandate, which we're coming to in just a moment. But the point it being, there was no problem with VP Harris before she became vice president. And other Democrats saying, well, yeah, I wouldn't trust this vaccine being rushed out like this because Trump was in office. Trump being in office, the only thing he did was give them the orders to go with warp speed, get something out. And, of course, they still had to do some testing, but not as much testing as normal. And there's an estimation I saw in one report that the vaccines given across the nation, just the vaccines given, they claim that they can document that at least 200,000 lives have been saved that they apparently can document for folks who did get the vaccine, one or the other vaccines. But because Trump was the leader at the time, they didn't like him anyway, they were not going to trust anything that came out because Trump had a hand in it. Have they forgotten? In a way, they have forgotten that Trump was the one who set it in motion. Because if it's looking good now and we're getting more people doing it and we want to get more people to do it and we want to follow the Biden-Harris approach on it at 70%+ if we can, then yes, it's good. You should get it. There's nothing wrong. Quit asking. Nothing changed with the vaccine. That's what I'm trying to stress to you. Nothing changed with the vaccine with the change of leadership of the White House. You think it's not political? And when you hear the left claim that anyone who questions, you're just kind of wacko and you should stand in line and do it the way, you know, we're telling you to. And remember when Biden the other day was saying, if necessary, we'll go door to door. Well, of course, that sets everyone on edge. You're not going to be coming to my door. They're doing it in Tennessee, even as I speak. In Mecklenburg County, North Carolina, just 49% of the residents in that county have received at least one jab. So health department workers and community outreach groups are going with a program called Doses to Doors. They are going door to door. Now, here's something you need to keep in mind. They're going door to door for those who ask them to come there because I don't really want to get out and travel or I can't. So basically they're being invited, but they are using that to, yeah, let's just go to them and help them. Some people might not know that there was a time. There was a time, I can remember, you called the doctor. The doctor actually came to your house. The doctor came to your house and checked your child or checked you or checked your grandparents or the parent. You know, the doctor in the evening was going house to house, especially in the rural areas. So this is what they're doing in Mecklenburg County, North Carolina. They're doing it again in the sense that they're trying to make it available for those who want it. And trying to go into those areas. And they're probably, I'm going to admit this, they're probably also, if they're in some neighborhoods they know have low vaccine rates, they may well be knocking on doors and saying, would you like a vaccine while we're in the area? They might well be doing that. And then again, they might also be stepping over the line and knocking on the door and opening and say, I want to know, have you been vaccinated? If not, we're here to give it to you. if they're doing it on an approach of a volunteer, that people need it, they want it, I should say, that, yeah, put me down, come on through the neighborhood, please, come on in, and they're welcoming them. Hey, you want some tea while we're here? Yeah, sure. That's North Carolina. In South Carolina, which you understand just by geography and the names, North and South, they're adjacent to each other. And to my knowledge, COVID does not understand or know state border lines. I don't think so. I don't think COVID's that smart. I don't think COVID knows, whoa. I'm in North Carolina. I cannot go into South Carolina. I don't think COVID knows that. But then again, I don't know, the way we've been acting with these shields we suddenly put up, we think COVID is so stupid it can't figure out how to get over the shield or around the shield. I mean, just anyway, in South Carolina, the governor in South Carolina is trying to block any door-to-door efforts and immediately got rebuked by the White House. Jen Psaki stating, the failure to provide accurate public health information, including the efficacy, of vaccines and the accessibility of them to people across the country, including South Carolina, is literally killing people. So maybe they should consider that. Okay, we got the message, and we understand, yeah, that maybe there's a good reason to do door-to-door if folks need you to come to their door. They don't have any transportation, or they don't want to get out in public. Because so many people, honestly, they are so frightened and so locked down right now. They are, even now, as they're out in stores. The other day, I opened a door for a woman coming forward. I don't have a mask on. She's got one, maybe two. It looked like a pretty thick mask. And I'm opening the door for her, and she just stops short about, I think, 6 feet from me and looks at me. I say, go ahead, ma'am. Please go ahead. And she looked at me and just looked at me again. And I thought, I'm just trying to show basic Southern chivalry and what should all men should do for a woman as you approach the door. But she's looking at me like I've laid a trap for her. Come past me to go through the door. She was not going to go. So I just went on in. Then I'm inside. I'm trying to hold it up for her, and she just stands. So I release the door, and I walk away. Then I see her come in. We have people that are so locked down in their mental frame and their mind right now. It's not just the mask containing and supposedly protecting them, but it's also containing their anger and angst at anyone walking around without one. I don't know if she had a vaccination. I wasn't going to ask her. It would be her business. Same thing I'd say if she asked me. The store we're going into says vaccinated customers do not have to wear masks, but nobody's checking. No, we in this case, unfortunately, we have had so much fear created by this. Yes, there have been deaths. I shared with you a close relative, younger than me, passed away very quickly. And a lot of similar relatives that I have, because of that, suddenly said, yeah, I'm going to go and get it. I'm going to go and get the shot. Sometimes it may take that. Sometimes that very fact that they don't want, or sometimes they had somebody who took the shot and they had adverse reaction and they back away even more. No, I'm not going to. But again, like I say, in South Carolina, the governor is not going to do it, going to block door-to-door thing. But in North Carolina, a volunteer with that North Carolina group said, we're not confrontational. It's not like you have to get the shot. We get people that will say, yes, I will get the shot, and then we follow up. That's what we do. We go to them. So, see, I think that's a good way. That's acceptable. But we are, again, in this us-against-them type thing going on. And then when it comes to younger people, and we have seen more reports come out of some concerns, and by young I'm talking about 20 to 30, not just kids, some extra fluid building up around the lungs, I should say around the heart on some. And then you also get schools considering if they're going to have shots or not to go to school. That's still being decided. And then we've got an Olympian that says, I gauge and watch everything going into my body, and I'm in perfect health, and I'm not going to get the shot. Well, they're not going to let him participate as a U.S. Olympian in the Olympics. So they're going to punish him to that extent. And then we get former Obama administration Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen CBS, she's no longer there. She said, we're in a situation where we have a wildly effective vaccine, multiple choices, lots available, free of charge, and we have folks who are just saying, I won't do it. I think it's time to say to those folks, it's fine if you don't choose to get vaccinated. You may not come to work. You may not have access to a situation where you're going to put my grandchildren in jeopardy, where you might kill them, or you might put them in a situation where they're going to carry the virus to someone in a high-risk position. She said, I think we're reaching the point, in her opinion, in the U.S., where those of us who are vaccinated, I want to take my mask. I want to take it off. I want to be able to live my life with vaccination. But right now, I'm also having people say they don't want to be vaccinated. Well, if they're going to do that, I want them limited on where they can go and what they can do. Passports, vaccine passports. Government says we won't do it, but we will help any private corporation that wants to set it up. And of course, we have something else killing people. Crime. Rising crime. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Just like everybody, there's the proliferation of guns in our city unlike any other, and the willingness to use them. And when you put that together with the criminal justice system that either has no consequences or these individuals fear no consequences or believe there are none, then you have the willingness to pull that trigger.
That is a Baltimore Police Commissioner, Michael Harrison. He's talking about the gun violence they're having in his city. And he's, of course, saying guns are often involved. And if they have a gun, if they have the willingness to pull the pistol and use it, that's all understandable. And he's talking about not just gang crimes, and he's not talking about just someone deciding to go on a shooting spree, but a domestic argument between spouses or friends or relatives. If one of them grabs a gun, has a willingness to pull the trigger, they're going to use it anyway. He said, and he points out later, he said, when they pick up the gun, they've already made the decision they're ready to use it. But here's the key that in that interview that I want to really point out to you that does not appear as part of it. He's talking to Jake Tapper, CNN. And he admits that we are short 230 officers. They're trying to get more in. They've got a new class coming out, but he says we're also losing some through attrition, and some are just saying enough, which is no surprise, is it? It's happening all over the nation. And in fact, Chicago, you get praise from me. Andrew, boots on the ground, listen up. Your city is no longer, your city no longer has the highest murder per capita. Yes, there's still a lot of violence and deaths in Chicago, 382 so far this year. But, stand back. Rochester, northern New York State. It's hard to say they beat and win because it's not something you want to have, but they now are showing more murder per capita than you do in Chicago. And the Rochester Interim Police said we're getting a federal task force to come in and work with us over the next 60 days to curb gun violence in that upstate New York City. They have had 37 homicide victims in Rochester so far this year. Now, I know 37, you just look at the numbers, 37 versus 382, but they're talking about per capita. That's obviously based upon how many live in the area. But the issue is, keep in mind, behind each of those numbers, there is an individual. Had family, someone loved and cared for them. Now, they may well be in that numbers, gang members who are out there causing the problem anyway. We know in the Chicago case, there's a gangster who was released on bail the other day because he had been picked up as a felon. He had a gun. They released him on bail. He quickly paid it. When he walked out, one of the other groups is waiting for him, two or three different guys. They opened fire, and the medical examiner said 60 bullets hit him. And yet we still have Democrats talking about defunding police, backing it off. Although now they're trying to say, oh, no, 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 we're not doing that. It's Republicans made that up. They just made it up. Just like they're trying to say that the Republicans are making up the story about CRT, critical race theory. We're not pushing that. It's not being taught. We have no plans to do it. It's all a Republican big lie. Well, I say liar, liar, pants on fire to you. That story coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for three generations, protecting homes and businesses. Three generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we were talking about crime in the last incident, last segment, and also now we're going to be focusing on CRT. But before we leave the crime issue, I want to share something with you. There's a Hill-Harris X poll just released that shows more voters want to boost police numbers in their communities rather than diminish them. These were registered voters surveyed July 8 and 9, 44% say we want more police and police activity in our community. Just 7% said they want less police in the area. 50% said they wanted the same amount. A majority of Hispanic voters, 54%, want more police in their community. When it came to black voters, 29% of black voters still wanted more police in the community. 11% said they want less police. And 61% of black voters said we want the same number. In other words, don't be defunding. In the meantime, they're trying to explain crime away, that it's just, it's just the illegal guns. Well, illegal is illegal. I mean, if a felon has a gun, that's a violation. They shouldn't have it. But the Democrats have continued to say, we're not really pushing defunding. We never did. Let me give you some examples here real quick. All right, let me take a look at this. One of them I'm looking at, let's start with newly elected Congresswoman Cori Bush for her first and hopefully only term. She writes, defunding the police isn't radical, it's real. That was January 27. I mean, she don't make any clear. Yeah, I'm all for it. It should be real. Congresswoman Omar, the defund the police movement is one of reimagining the current police system to build an entity that does not violate us while relocating funds to invest in community services. Let's be clear, she's adding in her tweet, the people who now oppose this, that means opposing defunding police movement, have always opposed calls for systemic change. Congressman Bowman of New York, too many police in our country are more concerned with protecting white supremacy than serving the communities that pay their salaries. So he's also in favor of let's defund. Well, more and more so lately, President Biden and Democrat leadership have tried to get away from that. They realize that's not a good storyline for us. And that's why you had Jen Psaki the other day suddenly claim that the Republicans are the party trying to defund the police. And, of course, they're talking about how Republicans voted against a all-encompassing massive spending bill that had inside of it money for the COPS program, community officers. Yeah, the Republicans voted for the whole damn thing. Now, if you separate that out and just say, let's just deal with the COPS program, they'd get their support. But they were trying to hide it in the midst of the rest of their grab bag. So they had to change the theory, and they also had to change the theory and their statement because they're seeing that, like I read to you from that poll, more and more saying, do not defund our police. And when the police commissioner of Rochester, New York, Baltimore, saying that we're 230 officers short and our crime is spiking, it doesn't take a genius to understand the relationship. So the Dems are trying to back away from it, at least the mainstream Dems, but the progressive left is the one pushing and shouting, and they're going to be heard. They'll punish. They'll run primaries against any other Democrats that aren't getting in line with them. And, of course, the other thing they got to deal with is a critical race theory issue. Democrats have been pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And, of course, a lot of it is tied to the 1619 Project, the New York Times reporter, I use the term loosely, came up with, where several points of her thesis were denied by historians, regardless of politics. They were looking at the history of it, said it didn't happen like that, but the whole premise being that the country was founded simply to have slavery. Slavery existed all over the world at the time this country was founded. This country was founded because we wanted to be free of slaves. And like the Olympian hammer thrower the other day refused to turn acknowledge a flag, saying, well, that national anthem, that says, talks about slaves, and I'm not going to, she doesn't understand the wording. I told you then, and I'll bet no one yet has been able to show her when it refers to slaves inside that stanza, the third stanza of the national anthem. They're talking about the British trying to enslave those who came to this country, trying to basically make them members of their British Navy. So the critical race theory. Now we got CNN anchor John Berman the other day. This is unbelievable. He's speaking with Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat of New York, discussing the Democrat strategy for combating critiques against being too woke. And he quoted James Carville, Democrat strategist, of course, who helped Bill Clinton win. Here's what Carville said. He actually read the quote, but I'm going to read the quote for you as to what Carville said, because I like to use the accent. I like James Carville. Politically I have some problems, but I like him anyway. He said, he's a good old Cajun. Anyway, he said, I'm tired of people being woke. After this pandemic and stuff, people want to go about their lives. They want to enjoy their friends. They don't be nervous about how you address them, talk to them, how you do anything. Just that's where people are. And so then CNN anchor John Berman said, in parties, talking about the critical race theory thing as well. He said, but Republicans created that. That's a lie, and we all know it. And, of course, we have many Republicans now saying, I should say Democrats, that continue to say, we never once said anything about it. We're not for it. And yet we got teachers' unions saying we're all for it. It's a good deal. We've got reports of it being taught in some of our military academies, naval and elsewhere. And we've got colleges doing the same, although they're trying to deny it. Mark Levin, of course, who is also on this program of this station later in the day, had an idea he passed around a couple of weeks ago, which is probably good. He said, why don't we put cameras on the teachers in the classroom, like we put cameras on police officers on the street? And then we can see exactly what they're teaching and doing. I think that's a pretty good idea. The credit goes to Mark Levin. But there was a piece of video that came out of Penn State, and this was apparently being taken by a student watching it, and I would have to guess that the professor didn't have any problem with it, was all willing to do it. Penn State professor, sociology professor Sam Richards, is trying to talk about how just being white should make you feel guilty. Listen to how this exchange went as he just singled out, quote, an average white guy in the audience.
What that means is the following. I just take the average white guy in class, whoever it is. It doesn't really matter, dude. Dude, this guy right here. Look, stand up, bro. What's your name, bro?
Russell.
Look at Russell here. Russell has, Sean, I'm making your argument for you, right? Look at Russell right here. Just doesn't matter what he does. If I match him up with a black guy in class, or a brown guy even, but let me just stay with a black guy in class who's just like him, has the same GPA, looks like him, walks like him, talks like him, acts in the similar way, has been involved in the same groups on campus, takes the same leadership positions, does whatever it is. If I match him up against that person, we send him into the same jobs. Upon graduation, he's done everything he's supposed to do, and the person I match him with has done everything he has been supposed to do. He's supposed to do at Penn State, right? They tell you, right? Do it, man. Go see your advisors and go do this and go do internships and do. And if you did this, if Russell did the same things, it's just the next person, somebody else I find in this classroom, and they go through 4 years here exactly together, Russell has a benefit of having white skin.
Well, that might be true in some cases, true. But apparently there are minority students in that same class, and they may or may not feel that. But what, it's not just a matter of judging, which is what he's trying to do. You got to judge by skin color. That he's saying anything that any person in the class that might be black or brown has all the other credentials, when they walk in, they're going to be judged simply by the color of their skin. They're going to be judged that way if you continue to push it constantly. And so then he decides to get into the guilt phase. Listen to this.
Bro, how's it feel knowing that push comes to shove? Like, your skin's kind of nice.
I don't know. I mean, it makes me feel, like, sad because, like, God knows I don't deserve it. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't choose to be white. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, it makes me upset that, like, you know, my brothers and sisters of, like, other races can't, like, experience those things for something that I didn't, like, you know, I didn't do anything to, like, deserve that, you know what I mean? So, like, I don't know, it just makes me upset.
So we're in, this is the problem with white people. The question then becomes is, what should we do?
In other words, because you're white, you should feel guilty. You didn't choose to be white, nor did anyone else choose to be brown or black, but we're going to impose guilt on you. Against that backdrop, I want to share an amazing story of a black family and their education. Stand by, please. If you want great Italian food, there's only one choice. Well, wait a minute. There are really three choices, but all of them are Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Visit any of them. Visit all of them. Cafe Napoli, family owned since 1989. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment.
Born through a party in the county jail. The prison band was there.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So again, critical race theory is teaching you that if you're white, you should feel guilty. And you are going to automatically get advances over anyone else. And that if you are any other color, you're going to be put at the bottom of the list for anything. Now, yesterday I shared with you a new book out by an Asian writer who said, basically, he didn't use the words, I will, BS, or similar type words, that he said, Asians, could claim discrimination as well all the time. He said, but we don't. We decide we're going to have to work harder. And the same goes for many black, brown, yellow people I know. Are those of Muslim faith that feel like, well, I'm going to have to work harder because I'm, just a kid or a woman. My daughters have had to say, I just felt I was going to have to work harder, do better than maybe the guy would. In some cases, that's going to be true. But then in some cases, they turn around and they provide rewards just simply based on that. You want a perfect example of that? Let me give you this real quick. This was gubernatorial Democrat nominee, of course, at one time candidate, actually, Stacey Abrams. She just got nominated for an Emmy Award. An Emmy Award. Well, what did she do? The news of the nomination for, quote, outstanding character voiceover performance. You don't see her. You don't hear I haven't seen it, but I assume she's not trying to put on an exaggerated black dialect. I assume she's speaking her normal voice, but, trying to put the emphasis in and the characterization is needed. And for that, she gets an Emmy. It's a one-minute voiceover role. One minute. Riddle me this. Did she get the opportunity because she's Stacey Abrams, because she's black? Did she get it because she had the best voice to be doing that at all? No one else could match that? I mean, see, it goes both ways. And, of course, don't forget one of the voices of The Simpsons who played an Indian man running a 7-Eleven store, is now trying to apologize to everyone. He said that I was, faking an Indian accent. They should have hired someone of Indian ancestry to do that instead of giving it to me, a white guy. So he's apologizing. No, I do not think he's giving the money back. But I want to point to you a family that was not going to let race stand in their way. They're going to do and achieve things because they were just, that was the way it was. This is a great story. It involves a woman by the name of Perry Johnson in Chicago. She graduated just last May from Richard J. Daley College, got an associate degree in early childhood education. She's been working on it for 30 years. She's 50 years old now. She said, it's a long time making. Fox News carried this story, so I'm sharing it to you as they presented it. She said, it's a long time in making getting my degree. I had to put it on hold. I started having children, and my mom always said, when you have children, your children come first. She said, I knew I was going to go back, but my children became my first priority. So this year she graduated. Well, wait a minute. The story's not over yet. Her youngest daughter, Mia, graduated from elementary school as a valedictorian of her class. Now, granted, it's elementary school, but that's an achievement. Valedictorian of the class? How many of us can even spell valedictorian? Well, congratulations to that young lady. And then her middle daughter, Michaela, graduated from high school and is headed to Tuskegee this fall. So here's mom, a single mom it appears, raising these two girls, and look how they had turned out and what she also accomplished. Oh, I'm not done. I'm sorry. There's one more thing to add. Her son, her oldest son, so I guess there are some others that are not mentioned here, just graduated from Georgetown University. That's pretty amazing. That woman and those three kids. I'm not trying to diminish any of the other kids that she might have. I'm just looking at what they were focusing on, and that is an American story. color did not hold them back. They went in and they applied themselves. And she said, you know, when it came to these studies, it was kind of good COVID was here because we were doing it kind of virtual. And I had this quote, as she said, the new age math. It was the math I was taught, she said. So when my daughters, both the one who's going off to college and one in the elementary school, when I finished, they finished their work, they came over and helped mom get her math scores and done. I love that. I love it. There's a story of a family that applied themselves. Exactly what Dr. Martin Luther King said. Not to be judged on the color of your skin, but to actually do what you need to be doing and prove yourself. Just like I tell my daughters, you know, if you feel that you're being held back like that, then all right, do what you need to do. The next hour, we're going to get more into Joe Biden claiming election fraud for Republicans.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.